Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced Ralphie's passion. Sometimes, if I'm dealing with an issue, or especially somebody promised us to do something and didn't do it, or didn't show up for an appointment or so forth, and, you know, and I call and talk to them, and, you know, sometimes they don't listen to what I'm saying. So sometimes in my passion, Judy says, your voice changes, or your tone of your voice changes. Well, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm just passionate. So by thinking about that, I entitled my message, Speak Boldly with Passion. Have bold faith. In order to speak up, to speak loudly and boldly about who you are, what you need, and what can be challenging, especially for those with a history of trauma or who have been raised in households, which is being quiet and staying out of the way was your best form of survival. We always hear the kids about that. Kids should be seen but not heard. That's, you know my feelings about kids and children. They need us and we need them. We can learn a lot from children. But Jesus' message in the scripture seems to indicate that in his presence, we are encouraged to speak up. In fact, throughout the scriptures, God had encouraged those who felt that they had no voice or an inadequate voice to speak boldly and loudly, particularly when it comes to God's will. But that's how God's message will be heard. Speak loud and boldly. Think of the Hebrew prophets for a moment. Nearly every one of them protested the very way that they were called. They were very vocal. For one thing, they said, I don't know if I want to do that. It could get me killed. So none of them was really up to the job. It's just like you're waiting for your assignment. These prophets were told to do certain things. And when the assignment came, I don't know about that, God. Moses, for example. He begged God to send somebody else. Anybody but me, he said. He felt he couldn't speak well. Did he stutter? Was he shy? Was he nervous? We really don't know. But he definitely didn't want to do what God asked him to do. So in the end, he relented. And he took his brother Aaron along with him for educational support, emotional support. And voila, look what happened. Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah. He insisted he was too young and too inexperienced and nobody's going to listen to me, he thought. But boy, was he wrong. Samuel, well, thought God must be kidding when he told him to go behind the king's back and anoint that shepherd boy king of Israel, you know, old David. He said, I'm going to be killed, God. I don't want to do that. But in the end, we know the story and look what happened. Jonah. I love the Jonah stories. We make fun of it a lot. But Jonah was given an assignment to go to Nineveh and share the gospel message with the Ninevean people. He tried everything to get out of going there. He said, there are a bunch of heathens over there. I don't want to go over there. God's grace and forgiveness for those rascals over there in Nineveh, it's just too much for me to handle, God. I don't want to go. Well, you know the story. And God used his meager voice to make a big, loud impact by being swallowed up by a fish. He said, see, I can't go now. And then God said, I got a good sense of humor. And he spit him out onto the shore and said, okay, Jonah, go and do what I ask you to do. This is what took place in a lot of times. And you think about Ananias. Ananias begged God not to send him to retrieve Saul. Remember the story about Ananias and Saul? You remember him? Killing Christians, persecuting everybody that he could. And then God wanted to use Saul. And he sent Ananias to retrieve him, bring him home. And Ananias said, Saul, that one that's been murdering Christians, I can't go and get him. He's liable to kill me. And yet Ananias answered his call, and he did, and Saul then was turned to Paul. And he would lead the whole Gentile nation on a mission for the gospel in the early church. Despite every attempt on the part of both the Romans and Jews alike, was to shut them up. And old Peter, I love Peter, the rock, he sticks his foot in his mouth a lot. I guess that's why I relate to him, because I stick my foot in my mouth a lot. But we know Peter as the rock, the foundation. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell won't stand against it. But he ran away from his calling to speak on Jesus' behalf. You remember? Jesus even said, hey, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, I'm not. Yeah, before the cock crows three times. And we know that's exactly what he did. And yet, I love the buts and the yes and the yes. And yet, Peter would go on to lead the movement and train others to speak despite of the consequences. We know that Stephen was martyred, so to speak, stoned to death, literally, in the midst of his sermon. And yet he spoke until he couldn't speak anymore. And his message had been preserved for posterity. There's many others. But why is this pattern over and over again? Well, I think this is one reason. God has something to say, and nothing's going to stop God from saying it. So the question is this: will you and I be a part of the message? Will you become God's healing salve in somebody's life, sharing nothing but the good news story, hope? So ask ourselves, all of us, the question for a moment. Are you willing to become part of God's healing salve, to share the good news story with others? Or are you hesitating? You wouldn't be the first one to hesitate. I shared that with all the stories in the Bible about people that hesitated. They didn't want to go and share God's story. But we need to make it real. And if you are willing to speak up for the gospel's sake, you need to do it. Be bold and passionate. So you're thinking, oh, okay, preacher, what are you trying to say? What would that entail exactly, speaking up and being bold with passion? What would I have to do? And I'm thinking that, like most of us, we recoil in fear. I'm shy, and I'm hoping nobody notices that I'm shy. I don't want to do it. Hopefully, no one, when you get that call, is sliding out the side door. We got a side door. You can slip out. If you're debating whether you want to be called by God to do what God wants you to do, and that's to love one another, we're commanded to love one another. That don't mean we have to like one another, but we're commanded to love them. So the question is alarming. And most of the time, we avoid it completely. And most of us are rarely listening. We are busy blocking out God's call in our life, because every one of us has a call. Every one of us has an assignment. And most of us really just want to block it out. Because like the prophets of old and the saints before us, we're scared of making waves. Scared of the commitment that we are signing up for. Scared of the changes in our life that we'll have to undergo. Frightened of what God will do through us if we let go of our fears and allow ourselves to speak up. Let's face it. We do not want to be healed sometimes. We really don't. Did you ever wonder why Jesus asked that question? Why? You want to be healed? In every instant when God, through Christ, heals someone, the next step is this. Get up and follow me. New responsibilities, new commitments. Yes, the reward for speaking up and having your life healed and changed is that you need to live out that change. Think about the scripture for a moment, and I think you'll see what I mean. Here's old Barnabas, son of Timaeus. The scripture tells us that on purpose. Why does the scripture tell us that on purpose? Because Timaeus was obviously not taking care of his son, Bartimaeus. He was a beggar on the street, which means he'd been rejected from his family, which in the case many times, in fact, most of the time, those who were ill and had an incurable disease or handicapped or didn't work, they held no practical benefit for the family in those days. Not only that, the Jewish authorities taught people that if you were struck with blindness, deafness, muteness, or another kind of disease, then, or your family even, you were essentially cursed by some sort of sin that you or another may have committed. The ill and the infirm were cast aside to fend many times for themselves on the streets and in the marketplaces. Doesn't sound like a very nice thing. So Bartimaeus not only would have been removed from his family, but shunned by his friends in the synagogue, the temple, or the church, like an outcast. In fact, his very voice is silenced by those around him when he tries to call out to Jesus. In fact, they were very stern, and they ordered him, "Be quiet! Don't call out to Jesus!" They sternly ordered him to keep his mouth shut and stay away from them and from Jesus, the teacher. But Jesus changes that entire dynamic, just as he called the children to him. "Don't let the children not come to me. Come." Now he calls old Bartimaeus to him as well. And Bartimaeus, the outcast, the useless burden, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, who brought shame and embarrassment to his family, Bartimaeus, who had been disowned by everybody, including his entire community, Bartimaeus, the one who dares to speak up and who will not be silenced because he knows and understands the grace of God better than anybody there, knows and trusts Jesus and is willing to be healed with all the changes and alterations for his life that this would entail. Bartimaeus speaks up, and his life will never be the same. I think sometimes most of us, and I know I'm guilty of this too, speak up sometimes, and we're just afraid of what that might do in our lives or change our lives, not because we don't want it, not because we are deathly afraid of the consequences from those around us. After all, it's already pretty bad what's going on in our area of responsibilities. Most of us don't speak up about who we are and what we need to change in our own life because we fear change. No matter how bad the circumstances, there's a comfort level that we cherish in keeping things the same. Status quo, if you would. There's a comfort we find in status quo. It's the devil we know, status quo. There's a sense of comfort that we derive from keeping quiet. Our lives may be pretty bad, but our days are familiar. We know where we belong in current situations, and we understand what's expected of us. Usually, not a whole lot. But I love the buts. But let Jesus heal you and restore you. And now you need to be an active member of your society and community. You need to become a part of an active workplace or a church. Hopefully one like this little church. You need to forge relationships with people who have pushed you down. Not only that, you need to forgive and to find a way to live with those that you have rejected in the past. After all, God said, "I command you to love one another." It's hard sometimes. And it's even hard for my situation in my life at times. I was very unlovable. But people still loved me and allowed me to come out of that unlovable situation because of God's grace. You need to forgive. And you need to live with those whose society has rejected or maybe even somebody in your own family. And all you need is to follow Jesus. A new dynamic way of taking on responsibilities and activities that you may not want to commit to. And all of that, it's hard. It's very hard. So here's the question. How badly do you want to see change in your life? How badly do you want to see changes in your situation? How badly in your church or in your own world? How badly enough to put faith in Jesus on and let it show? That's what Jesus is asking us to do today. And the question for all of us to consider is, how badly do we want to allow Jesus to heal you? Now, I'm not talking only about physical healing, although he can and he will and he could, but I'm talking about spiritual healing too. How bad do you want to be healed? For when God takes over in your life, God shakes things up, and God is guaranteed to be a status quo disturber of the peace. And when God speaks, the world changes. Things change, and more importantly, you change. Years ago in some of the movements, the evangelists and so forth, people would come to church and they would put the sinners up on the front row and they called it an anxious bench. And they had to sit there and the evangelist or whoever was preaching would make them anxious to a point that they finally surrendered and come to the altar. That's a good thing, they come to the altar and they change. But how long are we going to sit on the anxious bench? Because God wants to change you from the inside out. Jesus said, I am going to send one greater than I, the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, Jesus is not here to heal me. Well, he said he was going to send greater than I, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you every moment of your life. Now, if you don't want to be aware of him, that's your choice. If you don't want him in your life, that's your choice too. But he is there. Just for the asking, Holy Spirit, heal me. Help me through all this stuff. And he will. And he'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. So Jesus' hand of healing is reaching out to you and to me, because I constantly are in the process of pruning and needing healed in my life. I have never yet become perfect. So my question for all of us, are we willing to speak up and ask him to heal? Ask him to see and hear things that maybe you've been able to push aside or ignore in your life, as we used to call it, stuffing it down. See and hear people that maybe you allowed yourself to retreat from or stay away from in your life. Even before I became a Christ follower, I never in my life, being in the business world of a family or people that did things against me, I could never hold a grudge. I don't know why, I just never could. And I was grateful for that. But it's hard. It's hard. Because we have a human nature to hold these things against people. So-and-so did this to me, so-and-so did that to me. You know, and yeah, they maybe have. But what God do for Job when Job prayed for his friends? That's where the healing comes from. Getting that crap up out of you and giving it to Jesus. So see and hear the message and the call that God has on your life, because we're all individual. We have a personal relationship with God. We're all at a different stage of this growth process. And in that little book of Jude, only 24 verses, I think, we find out why we're going through all this stuff. Jesus said, in this life you'll have trials and tribulation. Fear not, I will overcome. Because, and you think, well, I accepted Christ and then my life fell apart. But he allowed you to pick up the pieces and put it back together, because we want to be healed. And Jesus wants well-trained saints in heaven. Because when we, either by him coming for us or we go home to be with him through the natural thing of death, we have an eternal home. So this life is preparing us for the next life. The next life is eternal life. And if we have eternal life and we go home to be with the Lord and He returns, guess what? That little book of Jude will tell us tens of thousands and thousands of saints will return with Him to set up His kingdom. And He wants well-trained saints to come back with Him. So, take heart. This life is basic training for the life to come. So be bold and speak boldly. The scriptures tell us many, many times, Jesus would tell us, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. God's outstretched hand will lead you into a place of healing and restoration and potential growth and a different kind of future. We only think about the future that we can see, the things we don't have, the things that we want. But He has a different kind of future. So the question is, what will it be? Be quiet or speak out? I think Jesus is telling us to speak. Do it. I dare you. Speak out. And I'm thinking about this outstretched arm of God. It implies that God has the power not only of healing, but of growth and resurrection and restoration, allowing ourselves to speak and to follow Christ. It'll mean allowing ourselves to be led by that powerful arm that seeks to make a change in the world. We, in our response, become a part of that change. I always like that one hymn that we do, Here I Am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I will go if you call me. I will follow you if you call me. Be encouraged that there is much more to life than what we see. Check it out in the spiritual sense and to be able to make peace with your neighbor, so to speak. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And that's why we like to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And in the light of His glory and grace, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim.